Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Dial 678-ESOG now for a solution to your foundation and waterproofing problems.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
By now you know that Kirby Smart's made a coaching hire. Scott Cochran, now special teams coach at Georgia, no longer strength and conditioning coordinator there at the University of Alabama. I wrote some of my thoughts on this last night at DogNation.com. I'll share more of those with you right now. And you know, here's what this brings to mind for me. In America, we have a way of kind of taking our best coaches and kind of turning them into de facto leadership gurus. Think about, you know, the way that Joe Torre was once lionized as Yankees manager. Pat Riley's written books about this kind of stuff. Bill Parcells. You know, if you ever go to like these leadership weekends, things like that, coaches like this are pretty famous for showing up and giving speeches there. Or as I said before, they kind of write books a lot. And that's just kind of the way we do things here in America. We use coaching as kind of a representation, a symbolism for what good leadership is. And no doubt Nick Saban, the coach at Alabama, has kind of been one of these guys as well. When you've had as much success as Saban has had, people are going to want to emulate the way that you go about your business. However, there is one aspect of Saban that I don't think is something that people ought to try to emulate. And I think it really comes to the forefront in the way all this Scott Cochran stuff plays out. And this is not just said by me as a way of kind of dunking on him on a day in which he has been publicly beaten out for a pretty important key staffer by Kirby Smart. I think there's something more to this. I think it's part of the recipe for how Georgia will eventually overtake Saban and eventually overtake Alabama. And we see some remnants of that in some of the other college football programs that have had great success. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So yesterday, Chris Lowe, ESPN, who's essentially become Saban's press secretary at this point in time, gives you a quote from Saban after Scott Cochran left for the Georgia job. Before I show you the quote, let me just say this. I know many of you are pretty plugged in on this, but Cochran is one of those guys that has been viewed as incredibly instrumental to Alabama's success. AL.com, who's the big news entity there that covers the Crimson Tide, called him the most important person to Alabama football other than Nick Saban. So this is a major, major switch to have him leave Alabama, come work for his good friend Kirby Smart. This is a big deal. And obviously people are going to want to know what Saban has to say about all of this. And Saban, I think, a little bit of damage control, a little bit of spin zone when it comes to trying to explain away Cochran's decision to leave Alabama and go to Georgia. Here is the quote that Saban gave to Chris Lowe from ESPN. This of Scott Cochran. Saban says he wanted to get in on the, he wanted to get onto the field coaching and would like one day, I think, to be a head coach. We didn't really have anything here to offer him along those lines, and Georgia did. I understand him wanting to take on that path. As good as Scott was for us here as our head strength coach, it's probably best for him and best for us if he's able to do there at Georgia what he wants to do with his career. That's Nick Saban. Now think about this for a moment. There have been so many, as I mentioned before, entities out there that have kind of chronicled the way in which Cochran, a strength and conditioning coach, was valuable to Alabama, important to Alabama. And yet, even with all that said, Nick Saban, in his own words right there, say the idea of Cochran growing into a bigger, better role here at Alabama, for him, apparently was a non-starter. Cochran valuable as a strength and conditioning coach, and yet Cochran sought more for his career. And for Saban, that was something he was not willing to consider whatsoever. To me, that quote right there potentially tells you all you need to know about Nick Saban. And it's not just trying to, you know, rub it in Saban's face on a bad day. As I mentioned, this is the way in which ultimately Saban will be beaten. Because here's the truth about life. No one exists. No one makes it their life's mission to help somebody else achieve their hopes and dreams. But it's almost that's the way that Saban views Cochran here. Yeah, you're a good strength and conditioning coach. That's helped us succeed. I realize you want more, but you getting more doesn't help me. Therefore, I've got no interest in helping you pursue that whatsoever. Who would want to stay and work for a man like that? And given the way that Saban speaks of Cochran here, who is as important a staffer he's ever had, all of a sudden you understand why the revolving door of assistance out of the Alabama program has been as quick and aggressive as it has been. All of a sudden, some of the reasons why that maybe some people don't want to work for Nick Saban, all of a sudden, I think this comes to the forefront just a little bit more. that someone like Cochran, who is really like everybody else, you want to grow in your career. You've been a strength and conditioning coach. Now you want to be more. You want to go on and do some other things. But for Nick Saban, no, that doesn't really help me. So therefore, I'm not interested in helping you. Those are the kinds of bosses that people leave all the time. Kirby Smart, apparently creating a little bit better environment around Georgia. Obviously, he and Cochran, good friends. That's the kind of place you move to when you just sort of grow weary and tired of the environment that you're in. And that's not the only thing that I think is kind of weird about the Bama-Cochran thing here for a moment. There were also some reports that Cochran wanted to say goodbye to the Alabama players, and apparently that was not allowed by Nick Saban. I think we've got some reporting on this. Kyle Henderson, the reporter, says, according to sources, Alabama had a team meeting at 3 p.m. Central Time, which the team was informed that Cochran was heading to Georgia. Alabama football did not let Cochran say goodbye to the team. The team continues the fourth quarter program this afternoon, and that's kind of the story there. You know, ultimately, the fact that Cochran's not allowed to say goodbye is not as a big a deal for me as the fact that Saban was not interested in any kind of promotion for him whatsoever, even after years of tireless service as strength and conditioning coordinator. It's the kind of sort of joyless, pursuit we've come to expect from Saban. I mean, the fact of the matter is, Saban truly is a great coach, but sometimes I'm not quite so sure that he's a good guy. And the ways in which other coaches have chosen to be different from Saban, I think, has been a recipe for success. I'll give you the two most recent examples. Teams that have beaten Saban won national championships in the last 2 years. If anything, isn't Ed Orgeron kind of a dramatic opposite of Saban? A lot more fun-loving, a lot more gregarious, a lot more seemingly comfortable in his own skin. Dabo Swinney at Clemson, a very different kind of coach, but also a different kind of coach from Orgeron, but also the kind of coach who seems to be going about his business in a very opposite way of Nick Saban. And for Kirby Smart at Georgia now, the way in which you procured Cochran, I think, is also the way in which you eventually topple Nick Saban. You just build a better place to work. You just create an environment where assistant coaches or key staffers can come in, feel they will be valued, feel that they will have a pathway towards promotion, their own professional growth, and you do the same thing for players as well. You just sort of create an environment that people want to be a part of. I think that Alabama, by comparison, has created an environment that's a little bit more of a transaction relationship. Players there to go to the NFL, coaches are there to sort of buy their time until they can leave. It's created a great deal of success, and no one can deny that. But how much happiness has it created? At Clemson and LSU, places like that, places that have won national championships in recent years, they seem to be doing things a little bit different. And I think for Georgia, that's the right way to go. This is a good day for the Dogs. Bringing in Scott Cochran is a big-time addition. His success at Alabama, his DNA on that success, is unquestioned. Now he works at UGA. It is another mighty axe blow that Kirby Smart has swung against his former employer, the Alabama Crimson Tide. And the more and more these things go down, the sooner I think it gets that the Alabama program will be toppled. And when that happens, I think that's not just a good thing for UGA. I think it's a good thing for college football as well. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. It's great to have you with us. No matter how you get to us today, live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon every single day in the Classic City on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast wherever you find them, including posting the show each day to the worldfamousdognation.com. Always great to check out our show page, a lot of the source material that we use, kind of the stack of stuff that we talk about. A lot of those great links are found in that every day at dognation.com, so you can make sure you check that out. We're going to have Jeff Sintel coming up as a very special guest in our program today. Huge thanks to him for being with us to talk about the big Scott Cochran news. Jeff, of course, spent some time covering college football in Alabama, so he knows a lot about Cochran and what he brings to the table. We'll do that with Jeff here coming up in a moment. As I said before, I'm also proud to tell you that we're brought to you today by our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Of course, ESOG, proud partners of the University of Georgia, and the source you want to turn to anytime you're dealing with a cracked foundation or a wet basement or a damp crawl space. They are a solutions-oriented company. They can help you solve that problem. If it's a simple fix, they'll give you a simple answer. But sometimes these kinds of issues are more substantial, more work required to be done, and that's another reason why you want to trust my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia, because they have two full-time engineers on staff. You want smart people doing this work for you, and they've got them. Also, they offer a fully transferable triple protection warranty on materials, installation, and design. They're proud partners of UGA, and you can reach out to them very simply on the phone. Simply dial 678-ESOG now. That's 678-ESOG now. and that'll get you in touch with Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Let me talk more about Scott Cochran here for a moment before Jeff Sintel joins us in a couple of minutes. And I guess I do have to be a bit honest here for a moment that the Cochran news, and I tweeted this yesterday, the Cochran news is fun for me because it intensifies the rivalry between Georgia and Alabama. If it makes Alabama fans mad, I think it's probably a good thing. In this case, you've seen a lot of gnashing of the teeth from Bama fans on Twitter or message boards or Instagram or wherever it is that you go for your to take the temperature of fans. You've seen a lot of that, so therefore it's a lot of fun for me. I'm having a really good time with that. However, beyond that, I do think there are a couple of like legit questions that Georgia has to answer about Cochran's presence once the dust settles and once we kind of get over the fact that Kirby's kind of flexed on Saban here. You know, beyond all of that, I think there are some legit questions that are going to have to be answered. And I talked about one of these yesterday. I was adamant that I thought that Georgia needed a quarterbacks coach for its 10th assistant. Buster Faulkner was not really a guy I knew a ton about before Georgia hired him as a now analyst role. But that's the kind of person that I thought would have made a lot of sense as a kind of 10th assistant spot. A guy who seems to have some acumen when it comes to coaching up quarterbacks. I've given you a few examples from the pre-draft process where smart people have said that Jake Fromm's fundamentals faltered a year ago. That's not what you want said of your quarterbacks. I think that Georgia would have done right to give a better, I guess, quarterback coach situation to its new quarterback, Jamie Newman, for 2020 or whomever emerges in that job in 2021. I think quarterbacks coach and good quarterback technique is something that Georgia needs to answer for. And Scott Cochran is here. I think obviously that's a very high profile hire and likely a really good hire. But admittedly, I can't deny that I've been arguing for a while for Georgia to have a quarterbacks coach in place. That's not going to happen now. But with the staff the way that it is, obviously a lot of that's kind of falling on Tom Monken now. Better fundamentals from the quarterback is something I think you need to see more from when it comes to Georgia this upcoming season. That's going to be an issue to address. Here's the other thing about Cochran that I think is going to kind of be interesting. And once again, this is not to say that I don't think the Cochran hire is a good hire. For all I know, it probably is a good hire. One of the things that does come to mind for me just a bit is that one of the things that made Cochran so important in Alabama, Georgia will no longer be able to tap into. I mean, we're going to have our buddy Mike Johnson on the show later on this week. Mike couldn't be here today, but Mike played at Alabama, grew up under the tutelage of Scott Cochran. He can say from a kind of a first-person perspective what it's like being with Cochran. And the one thing that Mike has told us before when he's been on the show, the one thing that Mike and I from working together for a number of years, you know, kind of understand, or he's made me understand, is Cochran's value at Georgia, and Scott Sinclair is probably pretty much the same way, as Georgia's strength and conditioning coach. Because you are not one of those 10 on-field coaches, you have extra access to players. In the offseason, it's almost like the strength and conditioning coach kind of becomes the de facto head coach. Nick Saban in Alabama or Kirby Smart at Georgia, they are limited in the amount of contact they can have with their players. But the strength and conditioning coach is not limited in that regard. You're hands-on, you're in their face, you're right there with them. You are their number one contact to the program itself, and you end up becoming like the intercessor between the player and the program. But as a 10th coach at Georgia, an on-field coach, Cochran's impact on the players by NCAA rule is going to be a little bit more limited. Now, he's still going to have, you know, a prodigious impact on them, and his energy is obviously going to be contagious around the Georgia program. But Georgia won't quite get out of Cochran what he was able to give to Alabama by virtue of the NCAA rules that will now limit his contact with those players. And he'll obviously also be out busy doing some recruiting and some things like that. So the nature of Cochran's relationship with Georgia is, just by the way in which the rule book is written, going to be a little bit different than it was at Alabama by the fact that he's got a different job than he had before. The other thing is, and this is not a problem, and it's not, you know, necessarily, you know, I guess an example of bad news, but it is a question to be asked. The transition to Scott Cochran as special teams coach also comes at a time in which Georgia's about to break in a new kicker. Georgia's had Rodrigo Blankenship only dating back to the 2016 season, but it feels like dating back like 1,000 years. It's almost hard to remember a Georgia kicker prior to Rodrigo Blankenship. He was at Georgia and doing so well for so long. But in 2020, it's going to be a new kicker. A lot of people assume it'll be Jared Zirkle, and I guess there's good reason to assume that. But one way or another, this transition to Blankenship to a new person in that role was already going to be a little fraught. And all of a sudden now it also takes place at the same time that Georgia will be breaking in a new special teams coach for a guy that's not been in that role before. And frankly, I don't even really know how much, a connection he has to special teams in the past. What's that going to mean for Georgia as it gets ready to break in a new kicker? As I said before, these are not problems necessarily. How you handle the situation with your quarterbacks, how you handle the situation with a new kicker, how you manage the way in which the NCAA rules are going to impact the guy going from strength and conditioning to an on-field coach. These are not problems, but I think they are questions to answer. And as the buzz and the fun of stealing someone from Alabama kind of, I guess, subsides over the course of the next couple of days, figuring out exactly what Cochran's role at Georgia is going to be and exactly the kind of impact we can expect him to make, I do think those will be important questions to answer. It's good to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia. Later on today, a really fun comment from one of the all-time recent greats in sports about a current Georgia coach. This is interesting stuff. We'll do that later on. For now, though, on more on Scott Cochran and what his impact will be for Georgia, let's get ready to talk to Jeff Sintel.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Well, welcome in Jeff Sintel, who obviously knows a great deal about Scott Cochran, what his impact was for Alabama, what that impact might also be able to be for Georgia. It's, of course, great to have him on the program here today. Jeff, thanks for stepping in to be with us here today on kind of a big news day. We appreciate your insight. We hope you're doing well.
Hey, Brandon, man, I'm great. I'm sure a lot of Georgia fans, also, a lot of Alabama folks I hear from have very polarizing opinions about the Scott Cochran hire.
Yeah, let me reset what I was saying before, because I'd love to get your thoughts on that. First of all, I think when it comes to the move itself, I mean, Jeff, you know I'm a fan. I think it's really fun to watch Georgia flex in this way. This is the kind of power move that, frankly, Georgia should have always been making, but maybe hasn't always been as aggressive as it should. I wrote about that last night at DogNation.com. For Kirby in particular, you know, he's not going to spend his professional life paying tribute to Saban. He's trying to knock him off his perch. I think that's great news. I think the way in which Cochran leaves is, frankly, a little bit of a bad look for Saban. You understand maybe why coaches with options choose to go coach other places. I think you see some of that. Just kind of big picture here, what do you make of the transition, Cochran leaving his longtime employer to come and work for his good friend?
Yeah, well, I think, first of all, you saw on social media yesterday, whether it was Ha Ha Clinton Dix or Josh Jacobs or Shane Taylor, a lot of Alabama guys just probably said it best by saying that Cochran was something different. You know, if recruiting is the lifeblood of a program, I think the bone structure around Alabama's dynasty was partly built right there by Scott Cochran. I mean, let's think about it, Brennan. What would it be like if, you know, he had a portion during their game day experience where his yeah, yeah, yeah cries played over the speakers and the video board at Bryant-Denny? And everybody knows Scott Cochran, whether it's the bank commercial or whether it's just the ESPN segments. I mean, he was one of the only coaches or staff members that got to speak to the media outside of Saban.
Yeah.
And I think the other things that make sense is, yeah, it weakens Alabama. Yeah, it helps Georgia. You know, he's going to be a personality. He's going to be a figure. I look at it this way. If you would have asked me, if you would have asked anyone last year, you know, Scott Fountain, special teams coordinator for Georgia, really good, what would Scott Cochran mean to a program? Can you imagine him on the trail talking with these young men? Can you imagine the way he interacts with young people? It's out there now that he wants to be a head coach one day, and it's just kind of a stepping stone to that. I just kind of think about if Georgia would have hired, you know, let's say Joe Smith to be the special teams coach or quarterbacks coach, or even promoted Buster Faulkner from his current analyst role, I don't think it would have had the juice, it would have had the gravitas that this move does, especially in the risk. I consider it low risk, high reward type move here for Georgia. And I think everybody else also do not need a guy like me to point out that while it strengthens Georgia, it weakens Alabama, and in some ways that also strengthens Georgia.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Jeff. A couple of things I brought up before you had joined us a moment ago was for Cochran now, it's a little bit different kind of role. As strength and conditioning coordinator at Alabama, you have virtually unlimited contact with players during the offseason. Now as an on-field coach, the NCAA rule is going to cause that relationship to change a little bit. How do you think it's going to be different? How much of that kind of boundless energy that we've seen from Cochran from afar at Alabama, how much of that can still be applied to UGA, given the fact that during the offseason he won't quite have as much hand-to-hand combat, or I should say, contact that the with the players as he would have been able to have with Bama as the strength and conditioning coach?
See, there you go, Brandon. Cochran just gets people excited, whether that's that motivational genius he does so well. But I look at it this way. He's going to be able to talk to every member of the team because every member of the team plays special teams at Georgia. Coach Smart prioritizes that as a critical third phase of the game. And then you also, with what you're looking at, is he's going to be a frontline guy with all the new faces because that's where all the new elite players come when they get to Georgia. They start working on special teams. So this is something, you know, this guy conducts, the special teams coach will conduct his own meetings. He'll lead his own meetings. He'll have players from all position groups in there. And for Scott Cochran, we're learning and hearing that he wants to be a head coach one day. This is a great hands-on experience. And you can't tell me in 12 years at Alabama, he hasn't sat in on all those meetings. He hasn't been able to see what the Crimson Tide do and does through all their position changes over the years for their special teams coaches. And he'll be able to implement a lot of the best he saw at Alabama. Got to remember, Todd Hartley also had been a special teams coordinator at Miami. I'm sure Georgia will be able to hire a couple of graduate assistants or analysts to help out in that role. They usually have a couple of guys that work specifically with the kicking game. So I think if you can surround Scott Cochran with all the support and information, Scott Cochran is just a coach, as a leader of men, as a locker room voice. I think those are all wins for Georgia.
Yeah, so let's talk more about that a little bit. As I mentioned before you came on, it's an interesting transition for UGA in the fact that Blankenship has been the kicker for such a long time, and it's a new guy in 2020. There's a strong presumption that maybe Jared Zirkle might be the next guy to step into that role. How do you think that transition is going to be impacted by having a guy like Cochran and, I guess, presumably some of the guys from an analyst situation that could be around him, breaking in a new kicker while also breaking in a new special teams coach? What do you think that's going to be like?
Yeah, I think a lot of the things, though, the way college football is, Brandon, a lot of people just look at the kickers and a lot of times the kicking coach that's always developed the young man works with them about their operation time, their placement, the mechanics of the position. And that's something that, you know, a lot of guys come in and they bounce around to different positions as well. You look at Georgia with Jim Chaney and tight ends and James Coley with quarterbacks and wide receivers. There's a lot of knowledge that can be picked up from that, but I think the main things for a special teams coach is just the coordination of systems, the coordination of schemes, who's in on what they're going to do, installing certain things. I would think that 12 years of being inside the heart of the Alabama program might lend itself to some good experience, especially when you have coaches like Kirby Smart and Todd Hartley and the other members of the Georgia staff there to support him. I don't think that lack of knowledge when it comes to the special teams coach or specialization, kind of like in that Kevin Butler mode of being an expert at kickers, I don't think that's going to be a glaring concern here with Scott Cochran. I think he's just a voice in the Georgia locker room now, a voice in the Georgia meeting room right now that will not only be heard, but it will carry a lot of respect when someone tries to put a plan together. And me speaking as the recruiting guy that covers that beat for Dog Nation, can you imagine him going to South Florida and all those folks that know him so well from seeing social media and all these pro players that attest to him that are chirping up last night and today about they're glad that he's getting his shot because he's always wanted to be an on-field coach. It's one of those moves, Brandon. We got to sit there and, you know, maybe put the finger to our chin emoji a little bit because you don't think Matt Luke's going to be at Georgia for more than 2 or 3 years. You don't think Todd Monken's going to be at Georgia for 2 or 3 years, more than 2 or 3 years. And I think you would put Scott Cochran in that same boat where this just seems like an upward trend for him, where if he does good work at Georgia, maybe he moves to another position at a bigger school and then keeps moving his way up the coaching rank and file.
Yeah, that's obviously the kind of program you want Georgia to be, the kind of program that attracts the best assistants because they believe they have a chance to move up and not have a ceiling put on their progress the way that maybe Saban's quote from yesterday makes it seem about Cochran there at Tuscaloosa. But your point about the recruiting thing I think is also really interesting too, because – we've obviously seen what his energy looks like with guys on campus for Alabama, and now we get to imagine how that same energy translates to the next generation of player. It'd be hard to imagine that that wouldn't work with recruits, right? I mean, this is a guy that seems pretty tireless. This is a guy who kind of seems to bring it every single day, and it's the kind of thing that I think that there's just a natural transition to being a recruiter when you kind of have brought the energy the way that Cochran has kind of been famous for doing that, and the way in which he probably was the most famous strength and conditioning coach in America just because he's been on like Regions commercials and things like that. You certainly get the impression that this probably works for Georgian recruiting, right?
Yeah, I think that will be the easiest transition is recruiting, because he can sell. He knows what bodies look like. He knows what players that Alabama has brought in for years and years and years. He knows what to be looking for. Georgia staff always meets together and determines the guys to prioritize on the board. And, I mean, goodness gracious. Yeah, I think the ultimate, you were talking about flexing, Brandon, and the ultimate power move. I wonder how many cackles you might create if Scott Cochran's recruiting territory ends up being the state of Alabama for the Georgia Bulldogs. I mean,
that is fun to think about right there.
It's going to add a lot more to that. Can you imagine we're all going to be in Tuscaloosa on September the 19th,
yeah,
and we're going to look over to one sideline and we're going to see Scott Cochran there cajoling guys in warm-ups, probably in a black polo shirt, or you know, maybe in a black polo shirt at the very least there,
yeah,
or the Georgia red or white. That's just going to be, you know, not only unique for Georgia fans, but can you imagine all those Crimson Tide fans that have been used to hearing Scott Cochran's name booming around the loudspeakers during critical moments of games as one of the, you know, the faces of the Alabama program and coaching staff, to then look on the other sideline for the SEC opener and see Scott Cochran there. It's going to be a nice little warp zone for a lot of fandom in college football for that game.
And Graham Nicholson brings this up in our Facebook comment section. It's kind of a practical question, but I think a lot of people are curious about this. You can make a case that because of the work that he's done as strength and conditioning coach and seeing the players every single day throughout however many number of off seasons, you can make a case that Cochran knows more about these Alabama players than anyone does. In terms of like deep-rooted knowledge, he may know more about them than Saban himself does. Is that an advantage for Georgia now, having a guy on staff who has intimate knowledge of strengths and weaknesses, literally and figuratively, for the Alabama players? How much is Cochran's institutional knowledge of Alabama going to help Georgia when it plays here in September in Tuscaloosa?
Yeah, I think it can take it to a point, but I think that what's going to matter is how well they play together and practice together as a unit. Let's face it, Alabama was going through a lot of transitions as well, and if these players were competing against each other in mat drills or in lifts or in core exercises or, you know, deadlifts and leg day, then that would be another matter entirely. But this is where all these guys are going to go on the field, and you're going to see what they are. Remember, Kirby Smart had a lot of inherent knowledge. So did Glenn Schumann had a lot of inherent knowledge about guys on that Alabama team as well. I think ultimately, and although this sounds like something the head coach of the Georgia Bulldogs would probably say, it's all going to come down to what you see on film and how well those guys execute and stop what's happening. A lot of Cochran's, you know, internal workings of the players might be speed, reaction times, physicality, that sort of thing, and not so much about how well they can do certain things on a football field.
Let me squeeze in a couple more before we get ready to go. Jeff, you know how much fun this is to me. I love stealing something from Alabama. I just think that's great. However, I have been pretty honest throughout the last couple of weeks that when you see some of the pre-draft evaluations of Jake Fromm, it is certainly true that a lot of smart people seem to think that his fundamentals faltered this past year, which I put on the Georgia coaching staff more so than I put on Fromm. I think you got to have good technique and fundamentals for your quarterbacks. That's one of the reasons why I had been kind of pushing Georgia to make a quarterback coach hire to kind of go along with Todd Monk and really address the offensive issues, which I think are, you know, a pretty significant problem for Georgia going back to 2019. So play devil's advocate here for a moment. As much fun as Cochran is, do you think we'll eventually, as Georgia fans, regret the fact that UGA didn't make that sort of offensive quarterback coach type hire?
Well, I think you got to look at it. Todd Monken's been a quarterback coach at a lot of levels, NFL, Southern Miss. He has a lot of knowledge to the position as well. And, you know, one could argue that I think maybe the loss of, you know, Georgia losing personnel, whether it be graduate assistants or Jay Johnson, the offensive analyst that specifically worked with the quarterbacks, I would just go ahead and venture to say that Jake Fromm was operating a lot of times like with a graduate assistant coach's level of knowledge and probably beyond that in the Georgia quarterback room for at least the last year and a half he was in Athens. The specific mechanics thing, I think Faulkner is there a little bit as an offensive analyst to guard against that, engage against that. And Georgia can always attract, you know, a couple of different assistants, GAs, support staff personnel to really work on that position. You come back to Jake Fromm's mechanics, and then I can hit you also back with, you know, that stat that even James Coley threw out, that when Lawrence Cager was on the field, then Jake Fromm completed 71% of his passes. We all remember how the 2019 season ended, but we also remember how things started for Georgia prior to that South Carolina game with Fromm looking like a junior three-year starter a lot early on, and, you know, then how he bounced back against Florida as well. I think the mechanics issue will always be there, but I would tend to think that Monken there, when you look at his level of coaching and coordinating offenses and working with quarterbacks, whether it be at Southern Miss, Tampa Bay, Cleveland, and on down the line, that's a good knowledge base. It's probably going to match whatever Georgia's had in the offensive coordinator, quarterback coach realm under the Kirby Smart era.
Last thing before you go, you think Cochran pulled that iPhone 11 out and took any pictures on his way out the door in Tuscaloosa, Jeff?
On the recruiting board? I don't know about that. I would say Georgia's recruiting board is pretty sporty right now in and of itself. I think we'll have a piece coming up on DogNation.com later today where we talk to a couple of recruits that, you know, have really feeling some type of way about both Georgia and Alabama, and we'll be able to share some of their thoughts on how maybe Scott Cochran to Georgia. Does it hurt Alabama? Does it help Georgia? Does it change the way they view Alabama on a visit? I think that's some interesting stuff to get into.
That sounds like a pretty fun thing to read, Jeff. We'll look forward to doing that. Thanks for being here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia Today. We'll look forward to catching up with you soon.
All right, Brandon. Have a good show, sir.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Yeah, I like to have a little fun with the Alabama fans and the, you know, Kirby Smart took a picture, blah, 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 whatever the rumor has always been about that. So, yeah, every now and then you got to have a little fun around here. Let's go cruise around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean for a moment. Speaking of fun, Royal Caribbean certainly provides you a chance to do that. And I don't know that there's anything that gets me more excited about a Royal Caribbean cruise right now than Perfect Day at Coco Cay. And I've told you before, it's like a private island. You can only get there on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship. This is only available to folks on Royal Caribbean Vacation. That's a really important thing to remember. And you basically take the private island and you kind of, you know, sort of devote one side of it to the thrills. That's like the water park stuff and the big wave pool and everything else. You devote the other side to the chills. I'm talking about unbelievable relaxation opportunities. And in fact, they just opened up Coco Beach Club. It's the first floating cabanas in the Bahamas. Now imagine this. Private island oasis right there in the beautiful paradise of the Bahamas, and you've got a floating cabana there. That's amazing. There's so many fun things about Perfect Day Coco Cay. No matter, you know, who you're taking with you, whole family, couples, whatever else, everyone's going to have a good time. Please make sure you check it out. Contact your travel advisor and say, hey, BA's been telling me about Perfect Day Coco Cay. I need to be on a Royal Caribbean cruise so I can enjoy that. Or if you need a recommendation, let me tell you about my friends at the Cruise and Vacation Authority. You can call them 800-326-4971. That's 800-326-4971. But please be sure to tell them you heard about them right here with us on Dog Nation Daily. A couple of things. I mentioned Jake Fromm with Jeff Sintel there. I guess Fromm kind of got dinged for his hand size yesterday. We always knew that Fromm was not going to be the hero of the scouting combine. Whatever Jake Fromm's NFL future is, the bedrock upon which it rests was not going to be the scouting combine. But Fromm wasn't the only one who, I guess, kind of got beat up for this a bit yesterday. Joe Burrow, I guess, also came in with hands that were too small. I don't know what they measured in at. I can't tell you how little I care about the hand size of Fromm or Burrow or anybody else. And in Burrow's case in particular, because, listen, I do get the notion that a bigger hand makes it easier to throw the football. I do get that. You know, you're not throwing a baseball. You're throwing something with a, you know, just, it's bigger. It's harder to hold on to. And in bad conditions, it's even more important. I get that a bigger hand makes it easier to throw the ball. But the point here is, and the reason why I kind of just sort of gloss over with a lot of this scouting combine talk is, you've got miles and miles of film of Burrow throwing the ball all over the yard this past season. He may have had the best season ever for a quarterback in college football. So if you're worried about the hand making it impossible for Burrow to throw, you got a whole year's worth of data, not even counting, you know, previous years, but just working as national championship quarterback in 2019. You've got all this data that the hand size for Burrow is not keeping him from the football. This is one of those like pseudoscience things that just sort of ends up driving me crazy. Now, are there legit questions about Burrow as kind of like a great number one overall pick type of quarterback? I think there probably are. I've told you before, I think the real star of that team is Joe Brady, not Joe Burrow. Brady now is the Panthers coordinator, offensive coordinator. I expect Joe Brady to have more NFL success than I expect Joe Burrow to have. But I'm not going to run from Burrow because of his hand size. I'm not going to do that. Something that I think is pretty interesting here. We always love the kind of carousel of coaching changes that take place this time of year. We kind of chronicled a few of those the other day with, you know, South Carolina, Tennessee. Now you've got a little bit of a dance going on between Texas A&M and LSU, where now former LSU running backs coach Tommy Robinson has left that position to take the same job at Texas A&M. A&M and LSU have pretty quietly become pretty big rivals here as of late with the athletic director switch, and LSU's at one point in time pursuit of Jimbo Fisher. Ed Orgeron's kind of talked openly about that. These two teams got into a fight a couple of years ago, so there's a good bit of animosity starting to build between LSU and A&M. These programs were not necessarily, you know, rivals when they first started playing in kind of a made-for-TV forced rivalry situation. But given all the movement that's taken place there, I think they've actually become something of true, genuine rivals. And Robinson's presence in A&M is obviously going to be important. Remember, there was a reason why we kept talking so much about A&M's pursuit of Zach Evans. And ultimately, it doesn't look like they're going to get Evans one way or another. A&M is not one of the places he's expected to go. But A&M really needs a good running back. They need a good running game. You know, Jimbo Fisher has tried to bring a degree of toughness to what I think in A&M had really kind of become a finesse program under Kevin Sumlin, and those changes come slow sometimes. A&M, even in the first couple of years of Jimbo Fisher, not a real physical team. I think one of the reasons why they haven't had more success is because of that lack of physicality. They just don't run the football very well. So Robinson steps in there in College Station to a pretty tough job, knowing you need to improve the running game dramatically if A&M is going to be as good this year as I think it can be, a real threat to Alabama in the SEC West. I definitely see A&M as that. I think they're a top 10 team, but you got to be better running the football, and Robinson's going to be asked to do that. Now, in his place at LSU, it also looks like one of the really underrated players in SEC history, Kevin Falk, who had monstrous stats with LSU. It looks like he's going to step in and now be running backs coach. So always kind of interesting when this happens. The running backs coach at LSU would appear to be one of the great running backs in LSU history. So we'll watch and see how the Falk era goes as running backs coach there in Baton Rouge. And for now, we'll make that cruise around the SEC, courtesy of Royal Caribbean. And I want to remind you that at the end of this week, you have a chance to come out and see me, and I hope you'll do so, especially if you're in the Atlanta area. We're going to be a part of the 38th Annual Atlanta International Auto Show at the Georgia World Congress Center. We'll do the show live there that morning at 10 a.m. and then be there for you when the gates open at noon. Of course, all kinds of stuff going on. It's a big like series of days. It's February 26th through March 1st. You're going to have more than 24 manufacturers represented, cars, trucks, SUVs. You can see all the latest models. That's really fun. There's also some special attractions. Cousin Eddie's RV from Christmas Vacation is going to be there. Exotic cars from Caffeine and Octane. Adult tickets are $12. Kids 6 through 12 are just $6. 5 and under are free. There's also a discount for seniors and heroes. Go to this website, goautoshow.com. That's goautoshow.com, and you can find out a whole lot more about that. Here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, let me also change the subject just briefly here. We've obviously talked a lot about Scott Cochran, and we'll have more to do on that coming up throughout the week, including, as I said before, we're going to try to catch up with our buddy Mike Johnson, who's worked closely with Cochran. We'll have him on one of our shows coming up a little bit later on this week. But just briefly, I thought this was really cool. So former Miami Heat great Dwayne Wade had his number retired by the Heat here this past weekend, I guess. And in the midst of kind of his speech and you know everything he had to say, one of the names that he brought up and wanted to make sure he took special time to thank was current Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean, who many of you know coached Wade when Wade was at Marquette. This was, I think, a pretty nice commercial for UGA basketball and, frankly, a pretty generous compliment from Wade's part towards Tom Crean. I thought this might be worth hearing just a minute of. D. Wade, of course, one of the NBA greats, and here's what he said about his college coach.
My head coach at Marquette, Tom Crean, he changed my life. He offered me a scholarship to Marquette knowing I might possibly be academically ineligible to play. And it turns out I was. And he made sure to oversee my academic progress in my freshman year. Going into my sophomore season, I found out that I was about to become a father. That my mother was returning to prison. And Coach Crean became more than just a coach to me. He became my lifeline on and off the court. He helped me discover a place within myself that I didn't even know existed. When I mumbled the words, "Coach, I can't," he challenged me, he pushed me, and he showed me that I could.
Once again, that's Dwayne Wade. I think that's when you hire Tom Crean, that's what you hope you'd be able to see. You hope you'd be able to have, you know, things like Wade or Victor Oladipo or some of the big names that Crean has coached before. You'd hope to be able to have them kind of shouting out Crean and sort of developing a connection between UGA and the rest of the basketball world. And I think that's an example of that taking place. Obviously, Anthony Ant-Man Edwards has kind of helped with that, too. You know, Georgia just needs more attention for its basketball program, and there's not a whole lot you can do right now to get better than Georgia is. It's obviously not had a very successful season. But when you're just more a part of the basketball conversation, Crean showing up in kind of a high-profile situation like this, being mentioned by Wade, Ant-Man all over the highlight packages on Twitter, Instagram, and everything else, that's just kind of a step in that right direction. So the chances of Georgia basketball being better than the future than it is right now, I certainly think that's a possibility. Will Ant-Man be a part of that? No, at that point in time, he'll be on his way to the NBA or already in the NBA. But nice to see Crean getting some attention, and hopefully that attention can be traded for some success on the court coming up for UGA basketball as well. As we get ready to wrap up here today, 1,214 days. That's our Gator Hater Updater. That's how long it's been since those lousy, stinking Gators have beaten the Georgia Bulldogs. And we always love having some fun with that at the expense of them as part of our Gator Hater Updater. But obviously today is a day kind of devoted to sort of picking on another foe, Alabama. And, you know, we've talked a lot about this throughout the show today. I think there are some legitimate questions about how Cochran will fit in at Georgia, exactly what his role is going to be, and exactly what his impact is going to be on the players that he gets a chance to coach. Those are all real questions. And the other options that Georgia could have considered for its assistant coaching spot, those are probably worth kind of debating and kicking around as well. And yet, ultimately, college football is kind of an entertainment product. This is a business that's supposed to be about fun, and there is nothing more fun than what happened yesterday. Kind of an unexpected headline, surprising piece of news, upset, disappointed Alabama fans. It doesn't get any better than that. We'll see you tomorrow, Dog Nation Daily, presented by ESOG.